You have a copy of God's Word, I'd like you to turn with us once again to the book of Matthew, chapter number 10 tonight. And we're going to look at another one of the apostles of the Lord Jesus. Those that some have named the Master's men. Those that walked alongside of Christ and learned from Him and listened to Him and strived to live just as close as they could to Him. Those 3.5 years of His public ministry. And we find that there were several there. Three especially that were on that inner circle. And we're going to look at that third one tonight, the third one which we've looked at that was the closest to the Lord Jesus, and that being John, the brother of James. And so I want to read our initial launching text tonight once again, and then we'll look over in the book of John for a little while and mingle around some other places in the New Testament. But if you found your place, Matthew 10, let's stand tonight and honor the Word of God. I want to preach to you tonight on this thought, whom Jesus loved. Whom Jesus loved. The Bible says there in Matthew 10 and verse 1, "And when He had called unto Him His 12 disciples, He gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Now the names of the 12 apostles are these: the first Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew his brother, James the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother." And you may be seated tonight. John, this one that was one that lived with the Lord Jesus, strived to be with Him just as close as he could possibly be with Him while he was here amongst us. And I'll tell you, I appreciate John. I want to preach you tonight on the thought of that one whom Jesus loved. We're reminded several times, if you look with me over in the Gospel of John, especially around chapter number 13, that we encounter this title in which I shared with you that I wanted to preach about tonight, whom Jesus loved. Now we know that John was the brother of James, and we know that they were both called there by the sea. We know that they were fishermen. We know that they were there just minding their own business, mending their own nets, working with their father, ever desiring just to earn a living, not looking for anything special that day. They might have heard of Christ, might have heard of the work that Jesus was doing, might have heard of John's proclamation of Him as he prophesied that there's one to come who was great and mighty. And they might have had an inkling as to whom that Jesus was. But I'll tell you what, Jesus made an impact on their life that day. And He came by their way. I want you to maybe just take some time tonight to recall back in the remembrance of your mind as to whenever that Jesus came your way. Amen. I'll tell you, I believe that God desires for us to recollect sometimes. He wants us to remember. He wants us never to forget what the work of Christ has done for us in our own heart and our own life. So we know that John, this one. Now, I think about John, and we're described by the Word of God that he was a son of Zebedee. But Jesus titled them the sons of thunder. And a lot of times we look at John and we see in the pages of the Word of God, we think that he's a meek and a mild individual. Some have even claimed him to be effeminate. But I'll tell you what, I believe that John held up to that title. I believe that in his preaching, people heard the Word of God. I believe that through his living, they saw the zest and the zeal that he had for God. I believe that he was still that son of thunder. But I'll tell you what, you can be a man's man and still love Jesus. Amen. I believe you can be a man of God and still have the ability to do a work for Christ that's different. I believe that John had that special touch upon his life because God had made a difference in him. So we think about over in John chapter 13 and along about verse 23, we encounter here that that Christ is there at the Lord's Supper. They're there. He's had the opportunity to wash their disciples' feet. He's had the opportunity to take part in the Passover meal with them. And the Bible tells us there along about verse number 23, the Bible says there that now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of His disciples whom Jesus loved. I'll tell you what, ain't that a great honor to be loved by Jesus? Ain't that a great title to have upon your life to mark your course of in history as to be the one whom Jesus loved? I'll tell you tonight, my friend, if you're here tonight and you're saved, I want you to know that Jesus loves you. I want you to know tonight and realize tonight that you're nothing apart from Him. But because of Christ's love, we're somebody. Amen. I'm thankful for the title in which that John has there upon his own own life. He didn't boast as to whom that He was. He just said, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. Christ made a difference in me. Why? Because He first loved me. And we think about that title. We find that John not only mentioned that in chapter 13, but if you look with me over in chapter 19 of the book of John there, as Christ is hanging upon the cruel cross, as He's there upon Golgotha's hill there, hung there, strung there between heaven and earth. We find though there about verse number 25, the Bible says there in John 19, it says, Now there stood by the cross of Jesus His mother and His mother's sister Mary, the wife of Cleopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw His mother and the disciple standing by whom He loved, He saith unto His mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her unto his own home. Hey, I'll tell you what, he didn't leave Jesus because he knew that Jesus would never leave him. Amen? Even when he was in his darkest hour. Hey, Peter said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll walk with you. But we find that Peter denied him three times before the cock crew. We know that Jesus spoke to Peter and acknowledged what would take place in his life. But we find that John never left the side. John never left the side of Jesus. John was desiring to be there. Why? Because he had experienced the love of God. That ought to say something to us tonight. Hey, we ought to have some stickum about us. Amen? Hey, because Jesus has blessed us and been so kind and so good to us, therefore we ought to live for Him. We ought to look for Him. Ought to be just as close as we can be unto Him. Look with me over in chapter 20 there in verse number 1. We find there the Bible says, The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. The Bible says, Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid Him. Peter therefore went forth and the other disciple and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple, that one whom Jesus loved, did outrun Peter and came first to the sepulchre. And he stooping down and looking in saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. And I'll tell you what, he loved Jesus. He had a desire to get there. Amen? And we find that he ran. Look with me over there in chapter number 21, about verse number 7. We might back up there. But we find the scene and the setting there as the disciples are there. Peter said, I'm going to go back in verse 3. And it says, He saith unto them, I go a-fishing. And they say unto him, We also go with thee. And they went forth and entered into a ship immediately. And that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore. But the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. They didn't have a clue. Did not recognize Him. The Bible says, Then Jesus saith unto them, Children, have ye any meat? They answered Him, No. And He said unto them, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were able not to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, It is the Lord. And I'll tell you what, he knew His voice, amen. He knew His person. He knew His power. He knew whom it was. Why? Because he had experienced the love of God. Look with me there in chapter number 21 and verse number 20. We find that Christ has had this discourse with Peter. We see that He's told him, You know, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? And he saith, Yea, Lord, thou knowest I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. Then, of course, he said the second time, and he said, He know that he loved. He said, Feed my sheep. He said the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved in his heart. And, of course, he acknowledged and said that he would, that he did. And Jesus said, Feed my sheep. And we find there in verse number 19, he spake this, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, Follow me. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? We find that Peter knew that John loved Christ. Why? Because Christ, first of all, loved him. I'll tell you what, whenever we think about the love of God, we're astonished, we're overwhelmed. Now, in the New Testament, the word love speaks of that word, that Greek word agapeo. It speaks of the social and the moral sense of love. Hey, it's something to say that I love you. It's something for me to say unto my wife that I love her. It's something for me to say unto my mother, my grandparents, that I love them. It's something for me to say unto my children that I love them. And it's a deep love. It's a social love. It's a sense of love. But I'll tell you what, sometimes the love of God goes far and above and beyond what we can comprehend. That Greek word phileo means to befriend or to be fond of. And my friend, I believe that Jesus is awful fond of us. Amen. Hey, He's befriended us. He's been the closest friend that we'll ever have. And so we think about all these things. I want you to turn with me back into John chapter 3. And I want to think about one thought here for a few moments tonight on the thought of whom Jesus loved and what does love bring. Love, first of all, brings unto you and I salvation. Amen. I'm thankful. Hey, how did John experience the love of God? He had encountered Christ. Christ had made Himself real unto him. Hey, he had gotten saved, amen. He had gotten born again. And so we find the Bible tells us here in John chapter 3, the most noted Scripture in all the world, John chapter 3 and verse 16, it says, "For God so loved." That love is described there. That's the word agape. It speaks of a great love, an infinite love, a giving love, an unchangeable love. Amen. It speaks of this greater yet than what we can comprehend. For the Bible says, "For God so loved." Amen. Hey, that speaks of intensity. It speaks of, hey, you think about how much you love your children and how much you do for your children and how much you care for your children. And that's just a glimpse of the type of love that God had for you in your wretched state. And the type of love that God displayed unto you and I as Christ died upon Calvary. Hey, we can't understand it, but that's the love that God had for you and for I. I said that love is a great love. That means it goes way afar and above and beyond our understanding. The Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter number 2 and verse 4, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together by Christ, by grace ye are saved." Hey, it's the love of God that allowed God to go down. Even when we were wicked and vile and separated from God, He allowed Jesus to come. Why? Because He loved us. Hey, we can't understand that great love. Hey, we can't understand that infinite love. The Bible tells us there in the book of Ephesians, chapter number 3, in verse number 18, it says there, it says, "may be able to comprehend," or back up and in verse 17, it says, "that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God." Hey, it's an infinite love. It's boundless. It's endless. Hey, it stretches far and above and beyond what we can comprehend with our infinite mind. Hey, I'm thankful for what, or finite mind rather. Hey, I'm thankful for the love of God. It's not only a great love and an infinite love, but it's a giving love. Amen. Hey, I'll tell you what, the complete work of Christ upon the cross of Calvary displays unto us the gift that God wanted us to receive, and that's the gift of eternal life. For God's so loved you. For God so loved me. He gave His only begotten Son. He gave that great gift. Hey, a lot of times we sit back and we receive things and somebody might want to bestow a gift upon us and we take it. Sometimes we receive it joyfully. Sometimes you got a smile on your face. You're thinking, what in the world am I going to do with this? That's all I need is one more box to put somewhere and we're not receptive at all. But I'll tell you what, it was a great giving love that God gave unto us upon Calvary, and so many people snub their nose at the grace of God. So many people do not take it with high regard of the love of God that Christ gave unto you and I upon Calvary. I want you to realize tonight that if you're saved tonight, that if you've ever been convicted of sin, if you've ever acknowledged your sin, if you ever trusted in Jesus to forgive you of your sin, then you've received the greatest gift that anybody could ever receive. Hey, love brings salvation. For God so loved. Hey, that love, not only a great love, an infinite love, a giving love, but I'm here to tell you tonight that it's an unchangeable love. Amen. Hey, it's consistent. It's unmerited. It's undeserving. There's a lot of time people love somebody upon conditions. They love them as long as they're being loved. They love them as long as they're receiving something in return. They love them as long as they're getting what they want to get. But as soon as that runs out, as soon as that's well is run dry, hey, they just move on somewhere else. But I want to tell you what, God's love is unending. God's love is unchanging. He's going to love you no matter how much you love Him. He's going to love you no matter if you serve Him. He's going to love you no matter if you give your life for Him. Hey, He's done giving the greatest gift of His Son unto you and I. Hey, the Bible says, for God so loved the world. Amen. That does not exclude anybody. It doesn't matter if you're black or white. It don't matter if you're red or yellow. It don't matter if you're a city slicker, if you're a redneck from the backwoods of Alarka. Praise God, He loves you. Amen. God's love extends unto the uttermost. Amen. Hallelujah. God is a good God. And the Bible tells us here in verse number 16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten. Do you realize that that only begotten does not just describe Him as a person of limited being? It does not describe Him as being a physical one child, but it describes Him as being the only begotten of God. Hey, if you've believed in Jesus, you've became a child of God, but there was only one that was able to have the deity of God from the get-go, and that was the man Jesus Christ. Do you realize that wherever God allowed Christ to leave glory above, and to come and to be made into the form of man, and to take upon Himself a fashion like just like you and I have, do you realize that God gave up one third of Himself, that God the Father was still in glory, that God the Holy Ghost at that time was still in glory, but the Son left there and came and dwelt among us. Amen. Hey, I'm thankful that God gave of Himself. Hey, it was God that came and lived there in the womb of Mary. It was God that came and was laid there in the manger. It was God that astonished at the being at the temple at the age of 12. It was God that gave of His life service upon the earth. It was God that gave of Himself upon Calvary. Hey, that was God's blood, pure blood, holy blood that was shed forth there upon the cross. We find that the Bible tells us of these things, that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten. Amen. Hey, He's unique in Himself. He's one of a kind. So we find there that He gave of Himself that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish. Boy, I'm glad that that's a non-exclusive statement. Amen. That whosoever believeth. It's not up for me to stand here that it's going to be you and you and you and the rest of you are out. No. Hey, I'm here to tell you what, if God's working and wooing on the inside of your heart, whosoever you might be, wheresoever you come from, whatsoever you might be about tonight, if God's dealing with you and working in your heart, you come and you trust and you believe and you acknowledge, hey, you can be like John and you can say, hey, I'm the one whom Jesus loved, because love brings salvation. Well, I'm thankful for the salvation that Christ brings. Hey, the Bible says, for whosoever believeth, whosoever trusteth, whosoever acknowledge, whosoever that places their faith in Him. Amen. For by grace through faith are you saved, and not of yourself. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. It's by faith that we receive Jesus. It's by believing and trusting in Him. It's not by works. It's not by coming. It's not by doing. It's just by believing and receiving Jesus the Christ, whom Jesus loved. Hey, that love brings salvation tonight. The Bible tells us here that anybody that believeth in Him should not perish. Boy, I'm glad I don't have to go to hell tonight. Amen. Glad I'm not separated eternally forevermore in a place of outer darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. Hey, don't have to go and suffer the fire. That fire that's hot, that fire that you feel, but it does not consume. That fire of torments that those that do not know Christ are going to face one day when they're cast into that lake of fire after they're dipped up out of hell, Hades, and stand there at the judgment seat of Christ, or at the great white throne judgment rather, and then they're cast and banished into Gehenna hell, that lake of fire forevermore. Hey, we don't have to perish tonight, but can have everlasting life. You know, that's what a lot of people are looking for. They're looking for life. They're looking for enjoyment. They're looking for pleasure. Hey, they're searching in all kinds of places, but the only place you'll truly find life, and life more abundant, is in the Lord Jesus. And my friend, it's not bound. It's not limited. It's not, there's no time limit on it. Praise God. It's everlasting, eternal, perpetual, forevermore. Hey, wherever I leave this earth and I shuck out of this body, I'm going to be present with the Lord Jesus forevermore. Maybe He'll come tomorrow and we'll just get glorified. Amen. We'll have to experience death. We'll have to go through a heart disease. Hey, we can just go and step right into the immortal presence of an eternal God. But my friend, we'll be there forever and forever and forever. Whom Jesus loved. Hey, love brings salvation, but love also brings service. Look with me over in the book of Acts, chapter number 3. One of the greatest little passages of Scripture here that we find describing two of the most influential men in the New Testament, two of those disciples that were in the inner circle of Christ, two of these disciples that said, hey, we're going to serve Him. Hey, we've experienced His love. His love has brought salvation unto us. And now His love is going to bring service. Do you realize that whenever you get saved, that's not the end? Whenever you get born again, that's just the beginning, my friend. Hey, that's whenever you can begin to start living for Jesus. Jesus can start living through you. And what's He going to do? He's going to work in you and woo you to serve Him. Love brings service. Acts chapter 3, verse 1. Now Peter and John, that one whom Jesus loved, went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain lame man from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them who entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him, with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Hey, he's looking for some monetary means. He's looking for another quarter to get him through. He's looking for another little morsel of something to help him get through another night or get through another day. Bible says, but Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. What did he have? Amen. Hey, he had the love of God. He had the gift of salvation. He had the gift of eternal life. God had empowered him. God had gave him gifts. And my friend, what God expected him to do was to bless him and to honor God by giving that they'd received unto somebody else. Hey, love brings service. God didn't ask you to hold that testimony in. God didn't ask you to bottle up that witness. God didn't ask you to hoard the gospel. No, God said give it out. God said distribute it. God said go into all the world and give unto them that have of need. Amen. Hey, the Bible says there that Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and his ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. Hey, he had received something that nobody else could give him. He had received something that nobody else could honor him with. Let me tell you, nobody else can bring salvation but the Lord Jesus. Nobody else can enable you to serve other than the Lord Jesus. Amen. Have you received His love tonight? My friend, if you've received His love, we ought to be about His business, ought to want to serve Him. The Bible says, and all the people saw Him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was He which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto Him. I want to tell you tonight, there might be some drunkard somewhere that's just waiting for you to share the gospel. Hey, it might be somebody that's wicked and vile somewhere that's just waiting for you to share the gospel. Maybe somebody that has a great deal wrong with them, but ultimately the root of their evil is sin and corruption and wickedness. And God's just asking for you to take unto them the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Hey, it ain't up to you to save them. Hey, there's been times I've prayed over men and prayed over ladies and begging God and asking God to do a work in their heart that God didn't call me to save them. All God called me to do was share the gospel, be plain, be simple, be truthful, be straightforward, and then let the Holy Ghost of God and the Word of God do a work in their heart and their life. Hey, love brings service. These men just gave unto this man what they had. Now we know that it caused a great stirring there amongst the heads of the temple. We know that there were those that brought accusation against Peter and John. But if you look with me over in chapter 4, along about verse number 8, the Bible says, "Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, Ye rulers of the people and Israel, elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole." You see, they did not take no credit. They didn't take nothing for themselves. They said it's Jesus and Christ alone. He says, "This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves. So we find here that these men said, hey, these guys have been with Jesus. Hey, they're ignorant, they're unlearned in their own stance. But boy, I tell you what, they had experienced the love of God. They had experienced the grace of God. They had received the gift of God. And my friend, if you're here tonight and you've received that same gift, hey, you can astonish a world. Hey, you can woo. Hey, you can win over somebody for Christ by just doing service unto God and sharing the goodness therein. Hey, love brings salvation. Love brings service. But love also brings sacrifice. Now, I want to tell you tonight, there's some things that we do that's real easy to do. I'll tell you what, there's a lot of things that we do on this side of eternity that are not easy. Amen? I believe that old John was a man that had lived for God. I believe he's a man that had trusted in God. I believe he's a man that wanted to do everything he could for God. But it required what? It required sacrifice. It required him giving up of himself. It required him setting himself aside. It required him putting off some things that he wanted to do, that he might do a work for the kingdom of God. Hey, you want God to honor you? You want God to bless you? You just recognize how much He's loved you. And if you're here tonight and you're one of those that confesses, hey, I'm one in whom Jesus loved, and you recognize that His love brought salvation unto you, that His love brings service unto Him, then my friend, love is going to bring some sacrifices in your life. Amen. Hey, it ain't always about us. Amen. It's about doing for others. It's about doing for God. It's about serving Him. Hey, John had the privilege of writing the gospel. Amen? But I don't think that came without any expense. I believe he had to spend some time in study. I believe he had to spend some time alone. I believe he had to spend some time getting aside of himself and getting along with God that he might be able to receive that gospel, that history of the life of the Lord Jesus. Amen. John had the privilege of writing three letters, three epistles, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. And the entire focus of 1st John is the love of God. Hey, I'll tell you what, he had experienced His love, and therefore what he had experienced, he wanted to expand it and give it unto those that had never received it, but it required sacrifice. Hey, the greatest sacrifice might have been him spending the rest of his life in exile on the Isle of Patmos. Hey, we would not have the unveiling, the revelation of God to know of the end time events if it had not been for the sacrifice of a man named John. Hey, I'll tell you what, he gave up his family. He gave up whatever type of fortune he might have had in the fishing industry. He gave up everything that he had grown up thinking about and aspiring to do because he had had an impact upon his life by a man by the name of Jesus. Hey, we talk about missions, and we think about these people. Hey, they've experienced the love of God, that they're saying, I'm going to sacrifice of my life, sacrifice of my time, sacrifice of the comforts of home that I might be able to go and serve Jesus. Why? Because they've experienced His love. I want to ask you tonight, what kind of service can you do? What type of sacrifice is God asking of you to give of yourself, that you might serve Him, that you might honor Him and glorify Him? Hey, I'm thankful for the love of God, aren't you? How many of you here tonight would be so honest as to say, hey, I'm one whom Jesus has loved. I'm one whom that Jesus has bestowed grace. I'm one who's received mercy tonight. Therefore, I'm going to serve Him. I'm going to sacrifice for Him. I'm thankful for my salvation. The work that we do for God is the fruit of our salvation. Amen? We don't work it up. We don't earn our place in heaven. But we serve Him. We do for Him because He's first done for us. Every head bowed and every eye closed tonight.